This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
And it's the Titterpigs, the RPG podcast. Am I getting paid for this one?
Listeners, welcome back. This is episode 36, or as we'd like to say, welcome to season 3 of Titterpigs. Dun, dun, dun.
You know, I only started tracking the seasons a few episodes ago, so if they don't match up, too bad.
Yeah, we don't care.
But yeah,
it's episode 36.
Right. At least we get that one right most of the time, where we don't have to edit out your voice for episode 15.
Hey, we only had to do that one time. But we won't talk about that episode.
Well, anyways, yes. Well, I mean, the big thing that we want to say to everyone is, of course, Happy New Year. We are into 2024.
We are. I mean, recording time, it's a little late in January. That's bad on us. But, you know, as usual, life likes to keep throwing us the monkey wrenches, as always. So, you know, it is what it is.
You know, there's a thing in professional recording, you know, called illusion. You don't actually tell them the day you're recording on. As far as the listeners know, this could be January 1st. So,
or January 31st, or January 21st, or February 12th. We don't know, because I think my computer clock is broken, and so is the calendar app on my phone.
Oh well. Anyways, happy 2024. It's a new year. It's a new day and a new age for the tabletop role-playing game hobby. And, you know, we spoke briefly, you know, on one of our previous episodes on games we're looking forward to. So as we roll into this year, we open up and with open arms to the possibilities of what could be coming for us.
All new dumpster fires in 2024.
Yes, we wasted no time. We didn't even have time to throw away the wrapping paper from the things that we got during the holidays, to where, you know, the hobby in its usual predictable ways started off with a bang of a drama. And but we'll touch on that briefly. Why don't we, before we get into like the nonsense, why don't we just, you know, let everyone know how we're doing, because it's been a while since we recorded. So what is new and what have we been up to?
Wow, what's new? So my gaming mojo's back. I'm back in the books. I'm reading. I've been running at least one session. I'm getting ready to run another session of the Walking Dead universe, the quick start scenario. I love the first one. The first session I ran, I'm getting ready to run it again for a different group of people. I'm looking forward to that. I just got done reading Shadow Dark RPG. Yep. That was a fantastic read. I'm going to actually start running the quick start scenario probably third week of February, do it for a couple of weeks just to kind of feel out the system and get some basics. So yeah, I'm 2024 is like maybe my year. I'm feeling kind of motivated again and I'm looking forward to this. I've got in the queue, I'm looking to maybe do some Trophy Dark, some Cult, Cthulhu Dark. I got some different things stacking up. So
cool.
Kind of running the gamut. How about you?
Well, I mean, all sorts of crazy nonsense. But for the most part, let's see, what's new? Going to be jumping into a GURPS version of Twilight 2000 here, probably by the end of the month. Looking forward to that, which is being run by our patron, Patrick. And excited about that. And maybe we'll talk some other day about, you know, why he's using GURPS and not the the Year Zero engine that the Freeling one is based upon. But that's a whole other different discussion for another day. But continuing on with my old school essentials game, the something at over Ragged Hollow, the Dread or the Fear, I forget what it's called, but generally speaking, we'll just call it the Ragged Hollow game. Enjoying that, I do feel that the players are still kind of still have their old school essential training wheels on as they're getting used to certain things about it that is totally different than the other versions of Dungeons and Dragons that they played. Meaning that the oldest version that the players have tried is 3.5. So it's a bit different. Yes, yeah, there might be a little bit of a jump there because we had to pause the recording for a moment. But yes, Ragged Hollow Old School Essentials, they are getting used to it. As far as their transition from 5th edition or 3.5, they're enjoying it, but you can still see that there's a couple head scratchers as far as them figuring out how things work. So, but no general complaints, and
okay, that's good.
It's going good. It's a great scenario. It's definitely leans heavy on the the kind of the fairy tale folklore, fae, you know, realm aspect. So it's got a sense of humor to it. So other than that, I'm hoping to be able to start recording back on my YouTube channel soon, for reasons.
Yeah. For reasons. I gotcha.
which will be revealed if you want to join the Patreon, but I'm not going to say it out loud for reasons. But yeah, I mean, other than that, just, you know, the general, you know, just general stuff, Strategicon coming up. So I'm going to be running, Dungeon Crawl Classics and Pirate Borg Lair. So I've got to prep for that in a couple weeks. And,
you mentioned Strategicon, and I saw something, one of the mm-hmm. publishers that I do like some of the stuff that they do, it's Monkey Fun Studio.
Yep.
Are you
doing,
I think they're going to be there if I remember correctly.
Oh, good. A Town Called Malice and yes. Spirit of 77.
I'm a big fan of A Town Called Malice. I backed the Kickstarter years ago. I think it's a great game. Mm-hmm. Are you doing, I think they're doing a pirate LARP. I know you're not into LARPing, but.
That's them. Okay. So yes. I did see an advertisement for that too, on. Yeah. On the Strategicon, on the unofficial Strategicon fan page.
Right.
Probably not, okay. But I may go check it out. You know, it'll be, you know.
I'm only asking because you know I like pirate stuff, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'll still go check it out. I can't say that I do or don't not like LARPing because I've never done it, but just the general sound of it doesn't really appeal to me to
Fair.
Give it a go. But, I mean, if it's happening and I'm not busy, I'd be more than happy to, like, you know, take a look at it and
yeah,
see.
Okay.
So. But but to be fair, pirate LARPing sounds a lot easier than some of the other stuff.
Fireball! I would be more comfortable. Fireball!
Yeah.
Fireball!
I'm such a vampire and life is so hard. I need more blood. That's easier.
Yeah. Give me the grog.
Right.
That's pretty much kind of it. Yeah, so that's kind of what we've been up to since mm-hmm. we last recorded and hung out in the studio. So what's our episode about tonight, Scott?
Well, our episode is about something interesting. It's not a big, heavy topic, but it's something that that we just kind of wanted to broach the subject on, and that's tech at the table, physical tech at the physical table, not VTT stuff, But certain things that provide the table with a variety of different help me out here, a variety of different
options, but also
options, yeah.
Hindrances. So there's
yes.
boons and banes, pros and cons.
There you go.
It kind of runs the gamut. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight in the main segment. So mm-hmm. I'm not going to say fasten your seatbelts. It's not a super heavy topic. There's some funny bits. Scott and I have some some interesting stories of things we've both experienced individually and collectively together. So,
yeah. Yeah, and it's not complete. So, you know, by all means, after listening to it, if you have some suggestions or comments, you know, let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. But always remember, we say it in the main segment, but we'll kind of preemptively put it here. What you do at your table is what you do at your table. What we do at ours is what we do at ours. There's no right way or wrong way. So just keep that in mind as you're listening. So keep an open mind.
Yeah. No, it's a nice light subject to start off the year.
Yeah, absolutely.
The year itself had its own heavy-handed nonsense going on between the end of the golden eras of RPGs, and of course the entire meltdown within the indie RPG world in the article that came out. So we want to keep it simple.
So we decided to keep it a little on the lighter side for our first episode of 2024. Yeah. We might get a little heavier the next episode. Maybe we won't. Oh, yeah. Who knows?
Well, we have some heavy topics that we have listed, and a lot of fine suggestions from our patrons and listeners, which, you know, we'll talk about on the next episode. But yeah. So
speaking of patrons, for another couple of weeks, we have our poll that's open for our next project, as it were. We have two options available for patrons to vote on. They are the Troubleshooters or the City of Mist starter set. One of these is going to be the winner. And whichever one wins, Scott and I both own each of these. We will read it. We will do an in-depth review of it. Some of the content will be public consumption. Some of it will be patron-only consumption. And then we will run it and record it. And again, some will be public, some will be patron consumption. So if you are not a patron, please consider becoming a patron. You still have some time to vote. And then you obviously get that additional content once we create that additional content for our patrons. So
yeah. Yeah, definitely. The link will be in the description, so check that out.
Always.
Or you can just search Titterpig's Patreon.
Please.
As far as I know, right now we're the only Titterpigs in the entire universe on the internet, so shouldn't be hard.
Yep, because we're special.
I mean, I can't speak for the deep web, but that's probably a different kind of Titterpig.
Yeah, we won't go there.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. God, this is going to be highly edited.
No, we're good. We won't go to the deep web. The Cthulhu the cat, the protagonist of Titterpig's podcast, struck again in recording. So it's par for the course.
Oh, lovely,
yeah,
lovely.
Par for the course. She muted me. It's all good. So shall we get to the main segment?
Yes, let's go ahead and swipe up and head to the next app so we can listen to that. Oh, shoot. My iPhone ran out of power.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
All right, listeners, we're back for tonight's main segment. Tonight, Scott and I are going to talk about hardware and tech at the gaming table. Scott.
Yep.
This is a crazy topic, is it not?
It is, because, you know, it's something that everyone uses in one way or another these days. And, of course, when it comes
I got a text message. Hold on. Just kidding.
Now that's different. That right there is 100% different. But yes, so yeah, we're going to talk about some of the good, some of the bad, and some of the ridiculous or absurd stuff that people like me, you, and our listeners use when they go to a game table to play RPGs or games. This is exclusively in-person tech, where we're not talking about VTTs or any of that kind of stuff. This is something that you would have at your table to streamline, make things easier, make things better, make things more organized. Hold up, in theory.
Yeah, in theory.
Yes.
And the reason we're not going to cover VTTs is because we've had an earlier episode that covered some VTTs, and I got a feeling we're gonna revisit that topic in the near future.
Absolutely,
because that entire landscape continually evolves, and it warrants another conversation, I believe, in the near future.
But yeah, so we've kind of compiled a short list of items. I know we're going to skip a few things that some of you may use and whatnot. So feel free to update us because, you know, we are of, how would you put it? Well, we'll just say we're grognards. We'll make that
easy. Of a certain age.
Yes. So, and we're not Luddites when it comes to technology, but nor do we come to the table fully geared like we stepped out of a cyberpunk railway to play games either. So
that's fact.
Right.
Now, to be fair, I have done some unique things at the table that we'll discuss shortly, but to bring some tech and to use some tech to make everybody's lives easier, and some has gone better than others, but
oh yeah, trust me.
That's a whole nother story. But so Scott, common things that either you see yourself using or your players using,
okay,
or just in general when you go to the game, your buddy's game store or conventions, like what do you see or use at the game table?
Okay, well, I think the obvious one, and this is probably the 800-pound gorilla in the room, cell phones, right?
Right.
Cell phones obviously have the capacity to do a lot of these things we're going to talk about. And this kind of will probably include a bit of a tablet talk because they generally kind of fall into the same thing. But the wonderful thing about cell phones, when they're used properly at the gaming table, they can do all sorts of wonderful magic. And everyone seems to have it in one way or another. And there's no shortage of applications that you can get for your iPhone or your Android that could help you at the game table. You know, one of the ones that I'll bring up, and maybe you can bring up another one that kind of fits into this slot, is to me an obvious and easy thing for your cell phone to have is a die roller or a dice roller.
Oh yeah, I've got one on mine. So
yeah, no, and these what this does is not only does it allow you to, you know, just roll dice very easily if you need to do something on the fly, if you forget your dice, but also, as you know, both Keith and I are well aware, and I'm sure our listeners are too, is there's a lot of proprietary dice out there. And most of these companies either have their own application for this proprietary dice or third-party people will create them for you. And it is a wonderful way to, you know, get your results when you roll your dice. If you don't, you know, if you don't have your physical dice or you don't use them. Now, is that something that people like to use? That might be a different topic altogether. But
right. Now, to go along with the dice, though, I mean, we have we have character sheets, whether they're PDFs or they're applications like D&D Beyond, right?
Yes,
with their embedded character sheets.
Yes.
And all of that, they kind of go, and it has a die roller built in. It kind of goes hand in hand. I've even seen at the table, at my kitchen table, where I've got my laptop plugged in.
Yep.
So kind of advancing the topic here, but I've got my laptop plugged in to a television, not flat mounted on my table, but just kind of propped up on a counter so everybody can see an unfolding map as I'm revealing it. Yeah. And I've got people logged in on their tablets, cell phones, and their own laptops as well, into my Roll 20. So I've seen that as an application of mobile devices.
Interesting. So yeah, so that's kind of like a conglomerate of some of the other things I'm sure we'll bring up because
it's a hybrid of like the tech at the hardware at the table and the VTT, and I was only really using the VTT just to display the maps. You know, I told them they could roll their physical dice. They didn't have to roll inside of the VTT. I just wanted it to have Fog of War on the maps, to reveal the maps, because I was actually, at the time, I was running Stonehell Dungeon. So,
yeah. So it's, but as far as bringing it back, just the cell phone itself is one of the most easiest, more mobile ways to have all of these different utilities you know, including the very basic things. If you use spreadsheets or Word documents, things like that. A cell phone is something that, even if you're not aware of it, I guarantee you, if you go into your app, whatever, you know, app software your phone uses, you type in RPG something, you're going to have hundreds of different things at your disposal to do that. So now, I don't know if we want to get into a bit of pros and cons on these things.
I think on the cell phone, it's worth at least you and I having a brief dialogue on it, because as a game master and as a player, I'm guilty on both sides of this, where I'll have my phone at the table. As a player, I don't typically use it unless I need like DCC funky dice and I don't have physical dice.
Right.
I have the, what is it, Purple Sorcerer die roller on here. And I'll use it because it has the dice.
Right.
As a game master, I loathe cell phones at the table as a game master because they are an absolute distraction.
Correct. No. And I, go on. Sorry. Yeah. No,
I was going to say, I've had players sit there and play when they're not actively engaged in the story for whatever reason, the spotlight's on somebody else. They're over there reading a book. Not a game book, a book, or playing like fucking Wordle or, you know, Bubble Witch or one of those fucking things. Farmville.
That's definitely a huge negative about that. And, you know, obviously if you make that clear to your table, you know, in the beginning, usually it's not an issue. But if you are incorporating, you know, technology at the table and you have some sort of aspect of your cell phone being utilized, you don't know if your players are looking at their character sheet or something on their phone, or they're just zoning out, wasting time, or doing whatever, and suddenly you fall into that usual situation of, you know, hey, Billy, what are you going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What? You know, or something like that. So the con of the cell phone, as it's probably one of the more versatile pieces of tech you can have at the table, it is also the most distracting, as you said. It's like someone having a pack of cigarettes at the table, and sometimes they're smoking because they're addicted to, they're getting messages, they're checking other shit, they're doing stuff that they really shouldn't be doing. And so it can be a double-sided coin when it comes to that, and amongst other things. But one more thing I'll add to the cell phone, and is the one thing I do like about the cell phone that I personally use. I don't really use a lot of these apps, but one of the things that I like about the cell phone is if I'm at the table and I need to send someone some private information that's pertinent to the game that only like their character would know about, I can just shoot them a text message. There's no, you know, it's just boom, here you go. And we're moving on. But, you know, it still is one of those things where no matter what you do with it, at some point it's going to be a distraction in the game. Even that, if I pick up my phone and I have to, you know, hey, Lisa, you know, your character sees something that no one else does. And then everything stops because I'm on my phone.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, yeah, but... So yeah, cell phones, most versatile, but probably a bane to many game masters. I know people are going to shout, I don't allow them at all on my table. That's fine. We're not here to talk about.
Hey, your table, you know, if you have a set of rules that your players agree with, then great. Don't allow tablets, don't allow cell phones, no laptops. It truly old school in that sense. It's paper, dice, and pencils, pens.
Yeah.
Miniatures, cool.
So let's move on to another thing. So we'll slide from cell phones, and I'm going to kind of pull these two together. So you mentioned laptop, and I mentioned tablet. So we'll kind of push those together because, to me, there's a distinct difference between the tablet, you know, using a tablet at the table, a laptop at the table, and a cell phone, and that is more on the game master side, personally speaking. Because the wonderful thing about having a tablet or a laptop is you have that wide, wonderful world of PDFs at your disposal, which is primarily what I would use them for and a lot of others. And for anyone who's had to find something real quick in, let's just say, I don't know, the DCC core rulebook, it's so much easier to at least you know, if you know something specific about it, that you can probably find it.
Relatively quicker. Control F is your best friend on a PDF.
Right. And again, with you know, with experience comes knowledge. So you're not going to hop onto a PDF of a DCC Core Rule book and put magic, because you're going to have, you know, 8,000 returns. But, you know, if you know something specific, or a specific spell or certain things like that, you know, it will give you those returns quickly, or anything else. I am a book flipper, and I'm also of the old school where I will tab out certain pages, but let's be honest, you can't tab out everything. And at a certain point, I'm also a stickler for aesthetics, and I cannot stand looking at a book with 8,000 tabs sticking out the top.
Oh, no. I can't either.
So I'm
in the same boat as you. Yeah. I love my tablet. I just bought a larger tablet. I needed to upgrade my previous, like, 8-inch tablet. So I got a nice 10 or 10 and a half, whatever it is. Samsung tablet. It's a nice upgrade.
Yeah.
I intend to use it at the table. I have my laptop that I will use at the table. If I'm running it, it's not my primary device. It's off to the side. It's a reference device. My primary stuff is usually printouts that I'm reading from, working from.
Right.
I'm a little old fashioned in that way. And I prefer that. Because I can highlight the things that I want to highlight. I won't highlight a physical book, but I will, if I have the PDF, I will print out the pages.
Yeah.
That I need for a module or what, or an adventure of some ilk, and then I will highlight and make notes and do that. But it's still nice to have that tablet or PDF off to the side that I can do a couple things with. I can quickly reference if we take a break and I need to do a rules reference or look up a spell or what have you, or tying into some different things that you can do at the table as a game master is, and what I've done in the past is, like a Bluetooth speaker. If I need to pipe audio, I can change, you know, I can have it off to the side. I can just, you know, reach over and change my audio.
Yep.
Thematically have different playlists that work with the different scenes, and I can change it, and I can manage my audio if I've set it up right with minimal effort.
Yeah.
Because it's far better to do it off of a laptop than it is off of a cell phone. I've tried that before. That's a nightmare.
In my opinion. We'll get that maybe a little bit later, because I've got other things regarding audio we'll talk about and whatnot.
So,
and of course, the other pluses about having a tablet is if you have character sheets, or even if you're using applications like D&D Beyond, more information's on the screen. That means it's easier to read, and, you know, you've got this at your disposal if you are, you know, anti-dead tree. And a lot of people are, and that this is your easy solution to you know, get this information. Right. Likewise,
Let me throw this out there, too.
Yeah,
go ahead. Let's not overlook something. You and I are both getting older. I wear reading glasses.
Yes.
You should be wearing reading glasses, and you don't enough.
I do, but yeah, I don't enough.
But you don't do it enough, and I know, because you squint.
Yeah.
But there are plenty of people out there that have reading disabilities, right? Vision disabilities.
Yes.
And they, you know, need to enlarge the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to do that on a tablet, even on your phone, or a laptop as a player, is amazing. It's fantastic. I find myself doing that even with my reading glasses. I find myself doing that just for comfort.
Agreed. Agreed.
Even if it's just a character sheet, just as a player, just for comfort, it's nice. It doesn't hurt my eyes and strain it. And then I can focus on the game and the fiction and what I want to do and my character. And
you know, zoom in and zoom out is your friend with your tablet. And you did bring up a good point of another good thing about, you know, having a tablet or even a cell phone for that matter in regards to technology and reading is, you know, people such as myself have different severity of color blindness. And, you know, if I open up a book that has red printed font on a black background, it's almost like I'm just looking at a black page. Whereas if I'm reading it on my laptop, I just, you know, with a slight little adjustment, I change the aspect a little bit, and boom, I can read it. So it is a you know lifesaver in that, because if not, then I'm if this was the old days, I would have to send someone an email going, hey, what does this shit say? Can you email me a paragraph, because I can't read this. And the other good thing about the laptops and the tablets, I'll throw this out, is visual aspects of your game. You mentioned handouts. I'm a big handout print person, but every once in a while, you don't want to waste some ink on maybe just a little bit of image or something.
Right.
And you can just hold that tablet up, and this is the snowy mountaintops that you see. Adds a little bit to the immersion, makes it a little bit easier, and you're not wasting ink. Printing out these full color photos, and as I think everyone's aware of the fact that the most expensive liquid on this fucking planet is ink. So
yeah. it is your inkjet ink. Yes. Or your toner.
Yes.
It is bananas.
Right.
And you're right. I mean, because a lot of times you're going to run a scenario once, maybe twice. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
Sometimes you're lucky enough to run it three or four times, but that's usually it's run its course then, and you move on to something else. At least that's mm-hmm. in my case, that's typically how it goes. Mm-hmm. And if I'm running it at a con, it's usually a one and done, and I don't want to expend the resources, to print something I'm literally going to show for 5 seconds mm-hmm. and why?
Yeah, exactly. Aside from that, we don't need to go in every single bit of detail, but, storage, right. All these, if you have a laptop, you've got a numerous amount of other books and information at your fingertips. You have the internet and all these wonderful things that, in addition to all the other apps that you have, other things that you could have at the table with your laptop or your tablet. You've got these world building campaign programs that you can sign up for. So it keeps management at the table a little bit easier. Even if you're just doing it after the game's over, you can get it one and done and boom, close your laptop and head on out. So now cons with these things, with your laptop and your tablet. And also I think this would kind of fall into the phone slightly, but maybe not as much, but 9 times out of 10, your tablet or your laptop will not have built-in internet. So if you're someplace that doesn't have internet available to you, if there's something that you forgot to download, or you didn't sync that PDF, or everything you use is cloud-based, boom, you are cut off from all that information. Whereas if you just printed it out, or had the core rulebook with you, or you had your character sheet, you don't have to worry about that.
There's that, but also I would offer that are equally as distracting as a cell phone, because you can sit there on your tablet and zone out from the fiction, right? The story being told, and you're reading a game book, or you're reading something else, or you're. Mm-hmm. Or if you do have Wi-Fi, or if you actually do have a cell plan for your tablet, because they still do those things, mm-hmm. all of a sudden you're on social media or whatever, and you get lost. You're playing a mobile game on your tablet, whatever it is, right?
Right.
There are ways to be distracted with those devices,
right?
And that is why I've run into a lot of game masters that are just anti-tech at the table.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to use, with the exception of dice rollers, and if you're going to use it as a dice roller, the thing stays out in front of you, screen up. You don't sit there and, hold it, and all of a sudden then you're distracted, right?
Yeah.
They have some kind of table rules for it. Mm-hmm. But though beyond that, though, I don't know that there's from a GM's perspective, unless you're cut off from, if you need internet service, mm-hmm. Wi-Fi service or whatever, and you're cut off from it for some reason,
mm-hmm.
There's really no other issue unless your damn battery dies.
Well, that's another big issue, because
I've had that happen.
Yeah, this falls into a con thing. I've been in many a room running a game, and at cons, I tend to bring my tablet with me. I have it there just for reference. I'll have a copy of the core rule book or something specific that I'm using the game that I want to look up quickly because my the rule book that I have is open to something else. And suddenly I look down and realize, oh shit, I forgot to charge it or something like that. And I look around the room and the nearest plug is 15 feet on the other side.
We've all been there, man. Yes. We've all been there.
And then again, and this is all technology. Of course, there may come a day where just something just goes wrong. You know, your laptop doesn't turn on. Your tablet didn't, you know, your tablet, you know, is having glitch issues. You did the update didn't go through. And then once again, you know, this suddenly your access to everything that you have, since you put all your eggs in one basket, is gone. So we can't not consider tech issues, everyday tech issues, as, you know, it is definitely another con that, you know, usually 90% of the time everything works fine. But as a person who works in IT, the moment you say that, that's when your
it's going to crap out on you every every time. Yeah.
Right. And you know, and again, I've seen GMs, they'll flip open a laptop, that's their GM screen. Or they, you know, they prop up their tablet, that's their GM screen. So, but it's very rare that I see someone who exclusively just has their tablet or laptop. It's a secondary device.
We've had my buddy Shane, we've had him on the show to talk about AI. I have witnessed him, unless he's changed the way he does business, in-person games, I have witnessed him run it off of his iPad and nothing else.
Right.
iPad and a little notepad, and literally that's all he does to run his games.
Okay.
And it works for him.
Sure.
And he lets players at his table run with tech, their cell phones, you know, and I know he gets frustrated from time to time, like anybody else as a game master, if their people are overly distracted with their devices. Mm-hmm. But that comes down to table management,
right?
And that's you know, you got to have that conversation between if it's your table, it's a collective thing, right? It's the social contract between everybody at the table. You got to have this understanding. Okay, cool. You guys can have tablets and cell phones. I'm good with it if you're going to use it for dice referencing. Or dice rolling, book referencing, character sheets, character management, whatever it is.
Right.
However, I want you to stay off social media or app games or whatever to keep focused.
Yeah.
And so we can all keep the story going and not lose time, right?
Right.
But that's table management.
Yeah. So we've talked about kind of most of the things we've talked about so far. Kind of deals with more of the organizational aspect of the games, you know, or ease of use with certain peripherals or whatnot, you know, to kind of just, you know, keep you from hauling a giant 85-pound bag everywhere you go.
Yeah.
But next, we'll push these two together. You brought it up earlier, and I kind of want to touch into a couple more things with it, but we'll just call it audio and visual tech. Now, this one is interesting to me because this kind of falls almost into not really necessary, but it can also be a bit of a hassle depending on what you're doing with it, because suddenly you're exchanging these books to bring these large technical items with you, depending on how you use it. So with the audio aspect, you brought up, you know, you having a Bluetooth speaker there.
Yep.
And, you know, for those who have used it, they use it for anything from just, you know, ambiance music, you know, playing the Conan theme song in the background when they're getting into a fight, to digital props, you know, like the audio recordings for the masks of Nyarlathotep voiceovers and stuff like that.
Right, exactly.
And they're great. I've used them, and they work wonderfully. It also saves, especially when it comes to Call of Cthulhu games, it kind of saves the inevitable downtime that seems to always occur in a Call of Cthulhu game. Hand them the prop, and then and then suddenly the table goes quiet as they read, you know, half a novel as they read some of these props, whereas they're voice acted out and whatnot. And then there's sound effects, which I don't know if you've used those before.
I have, but not at physical tables, in virtual games. But
okay.
But trying to really do sound effects for me at at a physical table. Just I've tried it. It just became a nightmare to manage. I would either forget to do it most of the time. I would just forget to do it because it was just one more thing my pea brain couldn't manage.
Right. And same thing with all of it. You know, whether it be just ambiance music or you know, voiceover stuff that you're adding to the game. I forgot to download something, or I press play and there's a stutter or something happens.
Right.
And suddenly you're doing tech support, you know, in the middle of your game. You know, hold on. I'll fix this. I'll figure it out. The Bluetooth,
like, audio loops are good.
Yeah.
I don't mind audio loops, like a music soundtrack that you can play if you're playing at a home game or in a game shop or something. Probably not at a convention because they're just too noisy.
Mm-hmm.
But just an audio track or a sound effects track. I've done this too, like rain, right? Coming down. If you're, or wind through the trees or wind, you know, air flowing through caverns. Environmental sounds, I guess I should say. So
yes,
I've used those to good effect.
Yeah.
But you could play that on just a rolling loop,
and,
you know, for 20 minutes.
Right.
As long as the scene or scenes, it fit those, you were good. It's the moment when you go from the rain inside and you forget to stop the rain and somebody's like, is it raining inside?
Right.
Oh, shit.
Or you have the clanking of swords in the background because everyone's in the battle. Then you suddenly realize same thing. You've moved to a farm. You're like, is there fighting going on at the farm? Like, oh,
that's no, that's the pitchforks. Yeah, they're thrashing wheat the wrong way. Yeah, it becomes from the game master's perspective, it's table and game management, and it can be like even with a virtual game, it can be problematic.
Yeah.
Morphing the conversation a little bit, this is where another piece of tech-ish helps. So, like, when I was doing the laptop connected to the TV for Roll20 to portray the maps, right?
Right.
A lot of people, like, now have custom tables built with large screen, 30-odd, 32-inch, 40-inch even bigger.
Yes.
Flat panel TVs either in a box on the flat up or set into the table.
Right.
And if they're using Roll20 or some other VTT that through that, you can, with API scripting, you can embed those triggers for the sound effects now, right? And have been able to for quite some time, which then, you know, makes it easier game management wise.
Right.
At the table, but there's a lot of work that goes into setting all of that up.
Right, because you're not just a game master, but you're also an audio and visual engineer.
Yes.
Because depending on how you have it set up, you still have to pay attention to that. You know, when to, you know, there may be built-in cues, there may not, but now that's just another piece of information that you got to pay attention to.
Right.
In order to fulfill your grand immersion in your game. And I've seen some people pull it off and other people just kind of like,
not so much.
Yeah. So it's, but I think when it comes to audio, as far as tech is concerned, it's probably one of the easiest ones that you could do at a game table with little or no management. Of course, you know, you need a phone or a tablet or a laptop or something with that on there. So it's a two part process. But if all you want to do is just have a little, you know, background music to kind of add a little bit of, you know, to fill in the empty void sometimes when things go silent or just kind of, you know, just keep that little tiny bit of ambiance going, it's probably the easiest thing to do. You set it up, press play, boom, you don't have to worry about it again.
Yeah.
And you're
create
you're
a create a Spotify playlist that works for you.
Yep.
And play it. Get the volume right as I've done this as the game starts going, right? And everybody's kind of volume settles in.
Right.
And then you kind of dial in the volume for your Bluetooth speaker and you just go. Because you don't want it to be the predominant sound. You want the players to be the spotlight, not the soundtrack.
What?
Yeah.
Huh?
It should be the soundtrack of their life, you know, as the characters are being heroes or dying as idiots.
Right.
But it should be an underlying soundtrack to their life, not overtaking them.
So the video part, which you've touched on, you know, quite distinctly through this. Of course, you brought up, okay, I've hooked up a monitor or a TV to your laptop, which I've done too. I haven't done it in an environment outside of my house, but that's probably one of the downsides to this, so one of the first things that I did when I started getting my son involved in is I would put Fantasy Grounds on my laptop and hook it up to a monitor.
I remember.
Yeah.
I remember you setting all this shit up.
Yeah. And it add a little bit of, we didn't use Fantasy Grounds, mind you. It was just there to move tokens around and have a map and just, you know, without having to print stuff out. And you know, kind of maintain focus because, you know, they were, you know, he and his friends were looking at the screen and we were learning stuff. And so it really kind of made things a little bit easier. But every time we played, I had to haul the TV downstairs or monitor, you know, hook it up on the table, hook a bunch of cables up, hook the HDMI cable up to my laptop, make sure everything was, you know, synced and appropriate. And off we ran.
Just to put it all away again.
Yeah, just to put it all away again. Yeah.
So me too.
It's nice to have, but then it's something that, you know, it's not like you're going to be hauling that to a con or your local game store to run stuff like that, you know, unless your game store lets you keep it there. But
now
even that,
I will say I have seen pictures of people that have like, say, 32 inch flat panel monitors.
Yes.
They have created wooden boxes, flat, thin panel boxes for them that will set on top of a table. And they also serve as like a travel box.
Right.
I'm just like, that is way too much for me.
See, that's the thing is I've seen those. They look fantastic. I've considered it too, but it kind of rolls into then, oh my God, am I packing to go on a mountain excursion to the Andes now just because I'm going to go run Dungeons and Dragons at the game store?
Right.
You know, they're just to save, you know, just to have some beautiful map on the table and whatnot. And again, that may be some people's thing. Some people don't, you know, they don't have a problem hauling all this stuff up. But
hey,
again,
all the power to them. I'd rather go spend the $20 or $25 to go to Kinko's and print a large format map and put some stickies all over it to cover up the map. And there's my fucking fog of war. Right.
Right. And if they don't have miniatures, little colored glass beads work perfectly fine.
Or use your dice.
Yeah.
Use one of your dice. Use one of your many dice that you have in the bag to represent your character. And we're good. We're off.
Yeah.
And I don't even do miniatures. I mean, I just don't do them.
Yeah, it's great. And again, it's something that I consider time and again. And even with you go to the extreme. Now, this is something that, you know, with the with these beautiful and wonderful, but again, you know, custom made tables where, like you mentioned, they had the TV set up underneath them.
Yep.
Some look like complete hack jobs, like they just sawed a hole in it and then bolted a TV underneath it. And others look
like... you've seen my newest project? You motherfucker. How dare you?
But then again, that is strictly, you're not taking that anywhere.
No.
You're not going to be able to haul that anywhere. And that's a great thing to have at home. And if you had a steady group of players coming to your house all the time, why not? If you know, go ahead and just deck out your game room with all the tech that you want, surround sound speakers, mood lighting, all that wonderful stuff. But
yeah,
we're kind of
projectors. Whatever works for you. I knew a guy that he wouldn't do it on the table. I've seen people do two things. I knew one guy that would project just for visuals, like maps on the wall. I mean, obviously you can't put miniatures on the wall and all that stuff, but he would just blast it up on the wall with a projector, like a short throw type projector or narrow focus, whatever it's called, up on a wall just to give his players a visual. And that's kind of what I was doing at the table with the 32 inch TV and the laptop.
Yeah.
Was just a visual because we obviously weren't, it wasn't laying flat and we weren't putting miniatures on it.
Mm-hmm.
There was no intention of using miniatures. It was just visuals. And then I've seen people do projectors in the ceiling and then cast down onto a table.
Yes, I've seen that too.
And then it becomes a usable map if they can get it zoomed in or out properly to have the right loose scale, you know?
Yeah. I mean, again, I've worked in IT most of my life, and I worked in corporate IT for several years before getting independent. And for anyone out there who's had to deal with setting up or trying to fix the aspect ratio for a projection for a projector for someone, it can be a complete pain in the goddamn ass sometimes. Just, you know, because
my newfound fangled thing for work is a short throw projector.
Yeah.
These things literally will sit on a little table under a projector screen and they will throw it like 3 foot on from in front of the screen onto the screen perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Brilliant.
Well, technology marches on, you know.
Yes, it does. As we get older, it gets better. Speaking of better, we've talked about some really cool things that you can do with technology, pros and cons, right?
Sure, yeah.
And we've talked about even some of the silly things we've seen. But what's some of the really bad things you've seen or experienced?
Ah, okay. And I believe you were there when we experienced this, and I hadn't seen it before, and I hope I never see it again. So we were at Gen Con, we were playing a game at a table. It was one of those rooms that maybe had, you know, three or four tables set up in it. At one of the hotels. It wasn't at the main convention center, I don't think. But at one specific table, a particular gentleman was running a game. And again, this was a small room. This wasn't Lucas Oil Stadium with, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people. There was maybe, you know, six people at our table, six at his, and I think maybe one of the two remaining tables had another group, and that was it. No one was being loud except this particular gentleman, because he had a microphone sound system set up at his table.
Was this the Thursday night game?
Probably. I don't know the exact night. So,
yeah.
So he had a microphone presentation system, which essentially meant he had a pair of headphones with a mounted microphone in front of it. He had a speaker in front of it, and he was using that to convey the game to the players at a table. And again, this was not a boardroom table. This was a round table, your typical table, no bigger than kind of a, you know, larger size, you know, round dinner table. It was so fucking distracting, unnecessary, and so goddamn annoying. I get it. You know, he was using it in case, you know, he was in an environment that was loud. But he needs to understand, and anyone else who uses these things, that doesn't fix it. Because now you're the loudest person in the room, and you're distracting everybody at the table. Because
that officially makes you the asshole.
Right. And it was also bad, too. You know, it was, I'm going to roll your dice.
And, yeah, I think that was the Thursday night when we were playing that... oh my God, that.
It was like piratey type game.
Yeah, we were playing that up by the windows in this room, and I can't remember if it was a table directly behind us or the one across the room.
Right.
I
know it was to my left for sure, because I was giving the death stare for a while. Now, I think he had started his game way earlier than ours, so he eventually wrapped up, so he wasn't there for the whole time. But it was literally just like sitting down, and as soon as he started talking through those speakers, it was just, you know, everyone was
I think that was the one on the far side of the small room. And you're right. There was only like four, like 8 foot round tables in there, and only three were used because the game we were in, then the game designer of the game that we were playing in was actually running a different game of their creation at the table directly behind us, closest to the door. And then, you know, 15 feet away, 20 feet away across the room in this kind of narrow, small room is this guy with this little PA system. And I do remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is a bit of tech that, granted, I would have never thought of or even considered, because you're just one tier down from talking through a megaphone. So don't do that. That's not good tech at the table. That is not good tech at the table.
No.
Now, if you were doing a TED Talk.
Don't be that person.
Right. If you're doing a TED Talk, fine. You know, if you're the center of attention in the whole room, go ahead. But, if you're in a room with other people, don't do that. That's tech you don't need. So,
no.
Do you have anything
outlandish like that, other than being there for that experience? No, just as a word of caution, I would, before we wrap this segment up, I would just tell people, if you're going to be a game master at a table and you're going to involve some tech, make sure you're prepared to use that tech and have a fallback plan if it doesn't work for you.
Right.
Having been a player where a game master's tech has failed them.
Right.
And then they start fumbling and all of a sudden they're like, "Whoa, my shit's not working. I'm going to cancel the game." And it's like, really? You don't know how to run a game without a virtual map or, a PDF book. I mean, have a plan, have a backup. If everybody has a phone, have your module on your phone. I mean, just have a backup plan, have a plan B. And the same goes for players. If you're going to run your character off of your mobile device, be it a cell phone or a tablet,
right,
have a backup of the character sheet just in case. Have it, if you rely on it being like in the cloud for like D&D Beyond, I know you can download it. I don't do D&D Beyond, but I think you can download a local copy of it. Download a local copy.
Yes.
That way, in case you can't connect to the cloud, you don't have any Wi-Fi or whatever the situation is, you have a local copy. You're not dead in the water.
Right.
Bring a real set of dice. Fucking A. Bring dice.
Yeah. Virtual die rollers are pretty much, to me, only necessary in like a pinch.
Right.
Or if you don't want to spend $50 on some of the ridiculous proprietary dice. But yes.
If you forget your dice, having a dice roller app on your phone is fantastic.
Right.
I don't use it as my primary means to roll dice. But
yeah,
I'm also not going to reach into somebody else's dice bag and go, fiddle, 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 I'm going to take your dice. Because that's rude and crass too. But.
Yeah. I think the big thing is, like you said, do not be 100% reliant on your tech, because it's not if, but when it's going to fail you, it will. It will.
Have a backup plan.
Yeah.
From a player's perspective and a game master's perspective.
Yes.
Please, please, please have a backup plan.
Oh yeah. No. Just and in my personal opinion, keep it simple. All these things we spoke of are great and fantastic, and yes, you could tie it all together, but try to keep it simple, because all that's going to do is increase your prep and setup time, take down time,
and your stress.
And to be fair, I'm going to be honest for you, as someone who spent a lot of time during lockdown, preparing and making digital maps and doing all the stress work for these games that we run. Most of them don't really give a shit. So
that's fair.
You're right.
And the games don't last long enough. I mean, most of the games are absolutely enjoyable, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But so few are that memorable where 10 years down the road, you're going to remember something about that game. There are so few games in my 40 years of gaming on both sides of the screen that were so memorable that I still remember like lines and quips from the game session, or who were the players in that particular game or a particular game session. Mm-hmm. So if you're trying to go this over the top production, the best of luck to you.
Yeah.
But most people aren't going to remember a damn thing 3 weeks from now.
No, exactly. No one's going to remember the fact that your fog...
Have fun in the moment and then move on.
Right. Your fog's animated. You made that goblin fart. Yeah, it'll be a chuckle moment. But when I'm telling everyone how great your game was, it's going to be like it's always been. How well did you present the game? How much fun did we have? How did it turn out? And that's kind of it. And
yeah.
You're not going to remember the sound effects, the music, and all that stuff. They're just there to prop you up a little bit. But just don't become reliant on them.
Yeah.
So if there's any check that that we forgot to mention, I'm sure there probably is, because we're not, you know, we're not hip and cool and young anymore. You know, let us know.
I'm still under 50 there, buddy.
Oh, whatever. But let us know. I mean, and we're talking exclusively about stuff that you bring to the table. You know, we're not going to go into all the different applications and all that other stuff. You know, that's, we're just talking about stuff to that you're bringing to the table. We know your phones and your tablets have a billion different applications and whatnot. So,
sure. So where can they tell us, Scott? Like,
they can tell
how
us.
How do they get in touch with us?
They can tell us, they can reach us by email at titterpigspod@gmail.com. You can hop on to our Discord. There'll be a link for that in the description if you don't already belong. And you can also reach us on the various social medias. Again, without naming them all off, that will be in the description. But we, Titterpigs is primarily on Blue Sky and also and Twitter. Easy to find. Where the hey, guess what? We're the only Titter Pigs out there. Can you believe it? And you can find both me and Keith on most anything also. So, but again, want to get a hold of us. Don't rely on my information. Go to the description and let us know. So why don't we close this out and move on to our next segment?
Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code Spotify for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Well, that was an interesting chat.
I think so.
Yeah, I think we covered most everything, you know, that can be discussed about having tech at the table, but I'm sure we'll get some sort of feedback from our listeners. So I look forward to that. But so, Keith, what's up next?
Well, I thought we would dig back into the archives and kind of pull something out that we haven't done in a while, and that's the mailbag.
Oh.
You're always getting packages. I'm always getting packages. You know, so let's tell listeners what we've gotten over the last couple of weeks. This, you know, this is not our stuff from Christmas, right? This is things that we've gotten in to, you know, kind of wet our whistle, as it were, and kind of excite us and or not. I mean, who knows? Got to read them first, but
no, so what exactly. Well, let's see here. So yeah, these are semi-recent. As I mentioned in the beginning of this episode, I've kind of stepped away from my channel for a bit for reasons. So I haven't really done many unboxings. So things have kind of stacked up. And mind you, I may go back and just, you know, do a deep dive on some of these things, but they're stacking up. And I wanted to open some of these things up and see how, you know, what they were all about. So I got a couple things in the mail. Some new.
Ooh, what'd you get?
Some
what'd you
old.
Get?
Some new and some old. So a couple Kickstarters. One of the first ones that I got was a game called Swan Castle. A multiversal RPG setting made for Old School Essentials, and it was done by Leighton Connor and, Blumier Connor. I know I've mentioned Leighton before either on my channel or on the podcast, but essentially the game is a multiversal setting for use with nearly any RPG campaign. This handsomely illustrated book is an overview of the castle's history, government, and culture, descriptions of the queen and her ministers, use for tables for encounters, descriptions of the different parts of the castle, including the catacombs. So it sounds like it's a self-contained kind of, you know, Castle Gygax or Castle Falkenstein, where everything kind of occurs within.
Is it a big book? Is
castle.
It a zine? Is it?
It's a zine. It's unfortunately it's a delayed zine from last year. But Leighton's technically a friend of a friend. I think I've met him once briefly when we were at Gen Con. But it is one of those things where if I'm a big softie about anything, if I know someone and they're good people, and they have a Kickstarter, I tend to back it just because I like supporting my friends. So,
sure. Absolutely.
So this, it seems interesting. You know, it's scene size. It's got a lot of great artwork, and the setting seems, you know, like something that would fit easily into any old school essentials campaign. So kind of looking forward of doing a bit of detail in that. The other thing that I received is Sky of Crimson Flame. It's a zero-level adventure for Dungeon Crawl Classics by Thorin Thompson. Some of the listeners may know of him, especially if they, you know, if they're fans of Dungeon Crawl Classics. He's got a bit of a presence on the social media and also within Goodman Games itself. So this was something that that he came out with. Yeah, it's. I'll just briefly read it because I just literally opened it a few minutes ago. But it takes your woefully unprepared peasant adventurers through a grueling night of horror, batter your way through flayed madmen, suffer the suckling bite of winged cherub headbats, journey through the Stygian depths of the dreadful keep filled with secrets and macabre mayhem at every turn. It sounds like it's a DCC game.
So, that's exactly what it sounds like. Sign me up.
But it is filled with the typical wonderful black and white artwork within it. You know, a wonderfully illustrated map. You know, you can't go wrong. And there can never be enough zero level adventures. And this definitely seems like one that might be a bit of a different take than what you're used to. So
it's cool.
Since it was a Kickstarter, there were some other wonderful things that came with it. But I may touch on that briefly in more detail on my own channel. And then lastly, this is more for the collector side of me. I was able to obtain a copy of Michael Moorcock's Hawkmoon by Chaosium.
Nice.
I believe it was Bud who kind of turned me on to this one listing. He had it extremely cheap. And so I jumped on that and nabbed it as quick as I could. And I haven't gone through it yet, but it looks like it is in pristine detail. I mean, the packaging isn't smashed. There's no water damage. The corners aren't folding up. So yeah. And for those who aren't familiar with Hawkmoon, you can do your own research. But this is still, I know that this is still played off and on quite a bit by more of the, you know, the UK British gamers. But
right.
You know, it's still a popular game, widely sought after by collectors, and this one, like I said, seems to be in pristine shape. So
nice.
Looking forward to carefully reading that. So
nice.
So that's my mailbag. You know, there's other stacks of stuff that I'll get to later, but those are a few that I just wanted to talk about and you know, shine the spotlight on. So how about you? What did you get?
I've gotten a few things in. I'm still doing the pay it forward, the chain of generosity over at rpggeek.com. And
oh, yeah.
I got in a couple of packages recently. Some of the highlights in one package was Void 1680 AM.
So
it was
yes.
One of the any from the last year's Any Shining Stars.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a solo, they call it a playlist solo game. Mm-hmm. As it says on the cover, a solo playlist building game by Ken Lowry. Mm-hmm. I have just started reading it. I am not a solo gamer, so this is a little different for me. I don't know what to make of it yet. So I'm just being honest. I'm not a solo gamer. I've read some solo games and I've tried some solo games, mm-hmm. and some I find interesting exercises in creative writing.
Yeah.
But I don't really find them as much as a role-playing game experience, but that's Keith's take. So that might be a whole different topic to have a discussion on, but this does look interesting. Mm-hmm. I do know, I am aware from when you and I had the conversation about this game, post Ennies and stuff, about kind of the cult following this game actually has.
Yes, yes.
With the actual recordings and everything that
could be broadcasted if you upload it to somewhere. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I get it. I mean, I get the social gaming thing because, you know, or the solo gaming thing because you are a social butterfly. A debutante, if you must. But anyways, go on.
Yeah, something like that. One of the other things I got in was Trophy Dark by Jesse Ross through the Gauntlet and Hedge Maze Press. And this just came in. I literally, I think I read like the first five pages last night.
Now, quick question. So, I mean, there's three versions of Trophy Dark. Do you have the other two?
Well, it's not all Trophy Dark. There's Trophy Gold.
Trophy
Series, yeah. So yeah. I have Trophy Gold, which is kind of, I'm not going to call it lighthearted, but that's the more traditional dungeon-y romp, fantasy. Okay. Not right. dungeon romp, but fantasy.
Right.
Trophy Dark is the horror version of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Trophy Loom, which has the green embossed cover, which I know little about. So I'm not going to speak to knowing anything about it. And I don't have that one.
Got it.
Cool. I just happen to be getting the books as I get them in drips and drabs. But so this one is the one I really wanted. I ended up with gold first and now I got dark. So,
yeah.
it is what it is. And then I got some old indies in. Don't Rest Your Head, a supplement for it, and then Hollow Point.
What's Hollow Point?
So Hollow Point is a very old, I think 2010, 2011 published indie. And right off the back, Hollow Point is a violent role-playing game for 3 to 6 players, suitable for one-shot and short campaign play. It involves very little prep and expects extreme action to dominate every mission. Hollow Point comes from the brains of Brad Murray and C.W. Marshall. No one in the game is innocent. You're an agent, and no one ever messes with you because you're not that far above the common herd of men that sleepwalk through their lives.
Interesting.
You get things done, and you usually... And that usually means blood or pain, or when you're feeling generous, death. So it's an ultra-violent game, apparently.
Cool.
I remember it coming across my radar years ago.
I
even think I had a copy of it years ago, and I never got it to to read it, and it just ended up in my outbound stack, either to sell or trade or pay it forward, because I cycle stuff, because I don't need to keep stuff on my shelves that I'm just not going to look at or ever read.
Right.
And this just happened to be in a grouping from the Pay It Forward. So it just kind of came with it. So why not? I'll try to give it attempt to give it a read this time. I don't know.
Sounds like fun. I mean, I'm not opposed to, games such as that.
Right.
I'd be interested. I would be most interested to see, since it's a 2010 game, what kind of system it uses. So,
yeah. Let me see what the original publication date is.
Probably its own 20 thing.
Copyrights 2011. So,
okay.
Yeah. It's early in the indie scene. It's kind of late in the indie scene, but
yeah.
Early in the, I want to say internet, modern internet.
Oh,
indie
got
scene.
It. Got it. Okay. Yeah.
But it's kind of late in the indie game space.
Yeah.
So, it's post-Forge and all of that stuff.
Well, that sounds like a great haul also, man.
I'm excited.
Now, how many 5e games did you buy?
I bought, hold on, let me, I got to take off my shoes to count. Nope, I sure don't have to do that because I didn't buy a damn one.
That's funny, because if this is actually a video podcast, the listeners would think you bought one of them.
No 5e for me. I'm actually divesting my collection of 5e stuff. I'm done. I'm done with 5e.
I get it. So
there are better games out there to play. You guys do you. I'm doing me.
Yeah.
No hate intended.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's my mailbag.
Right. Okay. Well, I think, before the 5e comment, drags us into any more, newly appropriated drama for 2024, I think this might be a good time for us to call it a day with episode 36.
36.
Yeah. Well, happy 2024 to all of our wonderful
listeners.
Welcome
to the golden age of role playing. Hey, Titter Pigs fam, just a quick reminder, we do have our Patreon going on. It's patreon.com/titterpigs. You can show your support there. We have 2 tiers for you, a $3 and a $6 tier, so show us some love and be part of our growing community.
And speaking of our current community, I would like to give a shout out to our current Patreon members, Dr. Mitch, Jason Sheets, Bud's RPG Review, Dwayne Costa, William Payne, Lupus Malum, Salt Heart, Patrick Mullen, Dragon Girl 74, and our newest member, Crafty Matt Kraft.